One day, Jesus is coming. You may be at church. You may be at work. You may be asleep. God grant that you will be ready when he makes his personal appearance. My God, what if his appearance occurs on a Sunday morning? My prophetic word to you this morning is get ready! Get ready!
יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקה. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Pastor G, and I want to welcome you to the very first broadcast of the NTEB House Church Sunday Morning Service. There's so many of us in the NTEB family of believers across America and around the world that are grieving today, not just because of the election, not just because of the fall of America and the rise of Marxism, but for everything that's been going on in this crazy, prophecy-filled year of 2020. And so many of you have written to me and have called me and have messaged me and have said that you have no church to attend where you live, where the King James Bible is preached and the end times are laid bare and clean and made plain. Well, yesterday the Lord touched my heart and he told me to preach. And I said, yes, sir, here am I. Send me. The Apostle Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. That's what the Apostle Paul told Timothy 2,000 years ago. He told him that that day was going to come, and that day is here. He went on to say, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And this is where we are today. We are here in the closing moments of 2020, the craziest year that anyone who was alive and living on this earth right now will attest to. This is the craziest year in the modern era. And it's going to get worse. It's going to get more intense. It's going to get crazier as we see more and more things that the Bible prophesied thousands of years ago beginning to come to pass before our very eyes. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for his blessing on today's service. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for all those who are listening live. We thank you for those who will listen to this broadcast in the archives and all over the internet. We just pray, Lord, that you'll use us to get something done for you in these last days. When you said to Isaiah, whom shall we send and who will go for us? And he instantly said, here am I, send me. And I pray, Lord, that today, for everyone listening, that would be the prayer of all of our hearts today, that we would be willing, like the battle horses of old, to rush into the battle, not away from the fight. And the fight has arrived now, and it's here. It's knocking on our very door. And Lord, we ask you to give us courage today. And Lord, This morning I'm going to be preaching from Joshua 1:9. And Lord, that's something that's applicable in every dispensation. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And then, Lord, that's our prayer today. We ask you to meet with us, Lord. And I know, God, I know that there are unsaved people listening to this broadcast right now. There is one young man in particular, Lord, who reached out the other day through our social media inquiring about salvation. Lord, I pray that there will be something said and done in this message, something from your word that would lead that young man to salvation in you. And Lord, I pray that many more people will be saved as a result of this broadcast. I don't know personally, God, if you've called me to do this every Sunday or just today or just for a season. I have no idea. But Lord, you absolutely called yesterday, and I'm thrilled to get the call and thrilled to answer. And Lord, I just pray that you would give us all a blessing today. And meet with us, God. And we thank you for your mercy, Lord. We thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for your guidance. And we commit this time and this very first NTEB House Church Sunday morning service. We commit it to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just like in a brick-and-mortar church service, we're going to open up with some songs. And I love the old hymns of the faith. I love the classic hymns of the faith. My favorite type of church songs are the ones that give you a message while you listen to them. This one will do exactly that.
Be
That's one of the main messages of the New Testament, and the Bible tells us to get our eyes off of the things that are on the earth and to look up and to set our affections on things that are above in heaven, that are heavenly, that are connected with Jesus Christ, because this world is absolutely passing away, and so much more so in this year of 2020. Yesterday, I received some sad, happy news yesterday. A brother in my church, Brother John Roth, and we've been praying for him for the past couple of weeks, and he had a number of health issues, and he got COVID, and his lung collapsed a couple of days ago, and they put him in the ICU, and they put him on a ventilator, and man, oh man, we prayed for him pretty hard on the NTEB Prayer Warriors, and we prayed for him on our Bible study show, and everybody from my church was praying for him, but the Lord decided to take him home yesterday. So we pray this morning for his wife, Susan, and his children, and Naomi, and everybody in the Roth family. It's sad. It's sad when a loved one dies. I mean, he sat right behind me in church for the last almost 3 years. And he was a great brother, and he was a good friend, and he loved the Lord with all his heart. And now he's face to face with Jesus Christ, and so it's sad. It's sad for those who miss the ones that God takes home, but it's happy for them because they wouldn't come back even if they had the opportunity. Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 32, the Apostle Paul tells us this: "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised again to life, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Another had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, and they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. One day we're going to stand up there in heaven, the way John Roth is right now, the way that Glenda and Anna and Elwood and so many from the NTEB family who the Lord has already taken home, and from my own church family whom the Lord has already taken home. And one day we're going to join them. I don't know about you, but I hope that we're part of the company that goes up in the rapture. But even if we're not, we are called to the front lines of the end times. We are called to get something done for Jesus Christ, because one day, one day, either by death or through the rapture, we are going to be up there and we shall behold him face to face. And that one day is coming sooner than you might think. For John Roth, it came yesterday. When will it come for you, and when will it come for me? We need to be ready. We need to have our lamps burning. We need them to be bright. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, I know that we are filled with the Holy Spirit when we get saved. Absolutely. But let me tell you something. We need to make sure that we're topping that off. When you got saved, God gave you all of him that you were ever going to get. He filled you to the brim. But then the sanctification part is now you have to give him all of you. And I don't know about you, but sometimes those levels in me, they get low. And God is always there, and he's always faithful. And if you're saved, he has already given you the tools that you need to preach and to teach and to proclaim his soon coming, because one day we're going to be there. The Bible says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 13, going to 18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then Paul says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. It's hard to find comfort when we lose a loved one, when God takes a loved one home. And the Apostle Paul, he addresses that. And he says, absolutely, we sorrow. when we lose a loved one. The Apostle Paul talked about someone that was close to him in the ministry, and he was very, very grateful that God spared that man's life because he was such a help to the Apostle Paul. And when we have a mother, a father, a child, a loved one, a brother, a sister, whoever it is, a friend that the Lord takes home, we sorrow because that's human nature. The shortest verse in the Bible is Jesus wept over the death of his friend Lazarus. Now, of course, to Jesus, Lazarus wasn't really dead because nobody stays dead around Jesus Christ. But to the apostles, he absolutely was dead as a doornail. But Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, and he came forth. And the good news of the gospel, the good news of the gospel is that if you have put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, there will be the day when you leave this earth again, either by death or rapture, and you will close your eyes here as you take in your last breath. And when you open your eyes and exhale that very same breath, it will be in the gates of glory, face to face with Jesus Christ. And that's a Bible promise. Jesus says in John chapter 10, my sheep know me and they hear my voice and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any snatch them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man can snatch them out of my Father's hand. And then he says, I and my Father are one. If you know Jesus, you know God the Father. If you're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, you can never, ever lose your salvation because you don't hold it. He holds it. Are you lost today? Are you headed for a devil's hell? You don't have to go. You don't. That's a choice that you make, because right now you can choose to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That's you. If you're lost, that's you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. He that believeth on him, Jesus Christ, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Do you know what you do when you refuse to accept the gospel, when you refuse to get saved? You make God a liar. Because God said that he sent his Son that you might be saved. And if you reject that, you're telling God that you don't believe that he has salvation. And if he has it, you don't want it. Either way, that's bad news for you. But the good news is that you can change it right here, right now, on this program. You can close your eyes. You can bow your knee. 30 years ago, God got a hold of my heart, and I didn't have any Christian friends, not a single one. I didn't know of any Christian churches. I had never set foot in one as a lifelong Roman Catholic. I had no human help of any kind that I was aware of. And even under those conditions, God led me to a King James Bible that was stowed away in my parents' basement that my dad had taken from a hotel room that the Gideon Bible and Tract Society had left there. We're talking the 1960s. I wouldn't even open this Bible until 1990. And God placed that Bible in my parents' basement, an old black back, red-edged King James Bible from the Gideons. And I opened up that book on March 14th, 1990, and that book was probably about 22, 23 years old by that point, and the spine still cracked the way that a new book will. Nobody had ever read it. Nobody had ever opened it. But God knew what he was doing, and he placed that book in my parents' house decades before the Holy Spirit would ever lead me at midnight to go looking for it and to have a desire to hold that book in my hand and to open it up. I only knew of one verse, John 3:16, the verse that I just read to you. And I read that verse and instantly, even though I had been in Buddhism and New Age and Roman Catholicism and Mormonism and Jehovah's Witness and just about every anti-God thing that you could think of, one verse, after a year and a half of actively searching for God, one verse, and tears began to flow from my eyes, silent, big, wet tears. And I knew that I had found truth. I knew it. And I bowed my knees. I was alone in my bedroom. It was just after midnight, kind of like Paul and Silas at midnight. And I bowed my knees and I said, God, thank you. And at this point in my life, I was working in Hollywood. You can go to imdb.com and see some of the things that I used to do. At that point in my life, I was very successful. And I was miserable inside, and I was broken, and I was cold and alone, and thinking very, very dark thoughts. And in the midst of that, God used one verse in an old Gideon's King James Bible. And immediately I knew that was the truth. And I didn't have to question it. I didn't have to ask anybody, which was good because I didn't know anybody. I didn't have any Christian friends. I didn't listen to Christian radio. I bowed my knees in my room after midnight on March 14th, 1990, and I said, God, this is exactly what I said. I remember it like it was yesterday. If you want the broken pieces of my life, take them. I give them to you gladly. I said, make me new. Make me whole. Fix me. Save me. And you know what? That was over 30 years ago. This March, it's going to be, man, it's going to be 31 years. And I've had ups and downs. I've had mountaintop experiences, and I've had valleys that were so insanely low, I didn't think I'd ever get out of them after I got saved. And yet, the Bible says that he who has called you is faithful, and he will do it. And if you're not saved, you can get saved right here, right now. All you have to do is bow your head and say, God, save me. And the gospel, you want to hear the gospel? I'll give you the gospel rightly divided for the church age. You want it? Here it is. Moreover, brethren, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, for your sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Let me tell you something. God saved me with one verse. I didn't even have those four verses back then on that day. But God saved me, and he'll save you if you ask him. One more song, and we're going to get started with the message. This song is my favorite. Absolutely my favorite Christian song of all time. And this is my absolutely favorite version of this song. You want to get saved? This is how it's going to be. Take a listen. Heavenly Father, we come before you one more time, and we ask you to bless the message, Lord, that's about to be preached. We ask you, Lord, to touch hearts and minds and souls, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, that people might be saved even right now during this broadcast, Lord. I just feel that so strongly that there are people listening right now, lost people who need to hear this message, who need to hear these testimonies, who need to hear your name lifted up in song. And Lord, I pray that you would break the bonds, any stronghold, whether it be alcohol or lust or false religions or cults or whatever it happens to be. Lord, I ask you to break the strongholds of any lost person who's listening now to set their mind free, to consider the claims that your word makes, and to trust your Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation. And we commit this time to you, Lord, and ask for your blessing. We ask you to work and move, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, I want to talk to you for a little bit from Joshua chapter 1. If you would turn there in your King James Bibles to Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to talk a little bit this morning about courage. We're going to talk a little bit about fear. And yes, we're going to talk a little bit about the election and the current nonsense that's happening right now. But this message is not a message to give you courage because America is on the verge of becoming a Marxist nation. No, that is not what this message is about. This message is to give you courage to do what God has, if you're saved, what God has called you to do. That's what this message is all about today. And in Joshua chapter 1, in verse 1, it says this: Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said, unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, I will not nor forsake thee. And then here's the first charge to Joshua. The Lord tells him, Be strong, verse 6, and of a good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. And here's the second charge. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all according to the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So he's telling Joshua, he's given him two charges now, and he's telling him, Joshua, if you want success, if you want good success, man, oh man, you got to do what I'm telling you to do. And that's how you get good success. And that's all through the Bible. Look at the very next verse, verse 8. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Many, many times people will write to me and they say, I don't know what God's will is for me. Can you pray with me and can you help me to figure out God's will? And I love to do that. I am thrilled to do that. But the first thing, if you call me up and you want me to pray with you about God's will, the first thing that we're going to talk about, are you meditating on God's word day and night? Are you observing to do all according to that which is written inside that book, that King James Bible that you're holding in your hand? So many times as believers, we have questions and we're perplexed and we have difficulties and the path before us gets very, very dark. And the reason for that is because the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. That is a light pointing downward and a lamp unto my path. And that is a light going out so that you can see where you're going. And most times, not every time, but most times it's because people are not meditating in God's word the way that we're commanded to do that. Paul says this in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The modern day 21st century Laodiceans, they hate that word so much, study, that is the very first word of 2 Timothy 2:15, that 90% of every single one of the new Bibles have removed that word study. And they remove it because they don't want you to study God's word. The NIV says, do your best. Now, you don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar. You don't have to be a PhD to understand that the command to study and the suggestion to do your best are not the same thing, not by a long shot. The Lord goes on to Joshua back in Joshua 1, verse 8, for then shall thou make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. And then he asks Joshua a question, and then he's going to give him charge number 3. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever, whithersoever thou goest. Now, there's a lot in Joshua chapter 1 that applies exclusively to the Jewish people under the leadership of Moses' minister Joshua. And there's a bunch more that will be applicable in any dispensation. God says to meditate on his word. Well, that command to study the Bible, to read the scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament, that command is from cover to cover. It's in every dispensation. But verse 9 specifically, God tells Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And then turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. So that's the charge. 3 charges in Joshua chapter 1 that the Lord gives to Joshua, and he tells him repeatedly, have courage, don't be afraid. Why is he saying these things? Because he is about to call Joshua into a very high position. He's about to call Joshua to lead the Jewish people to take the land of Canaan. And man, oh man, is that a big task. But then when we get all the way to the New Testament in our dispensation, the church age, we find the Apostle Paul giving Timothy a charge as well. 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. And then Paul says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And this is the charge. We read the charge that God gave to Joshua as the minister of Moses, who was second in line to lead the Jewish people into the promised land. And here we have our apostle, the apostle Paul, and he's giving Timothy a charge. Timothy represents the New Testament church, because it is 1st and 2nd Timothy where the apostle Paul lays out, this is how you're going to set up New Testament house churches. And eventually, it would go from a house church to a brick-and-mortar separate building like we have today. That's a natural progression. I know that there are people who preach against church buildings and all that stuff, but I don't find anything in the Bible that would make that case. Certainly, in the 21st century, things have become very, very lukewarm, as Jesus says that they would be in Revelation chapter 3, 14 through 20. And things have gotten distorted and things have gotten crazy. And we see so many of the liberal churches and the rock and roll churches and all that stuff. And yeah, that's absolutely not good. All right. But Paul gives Timothy a charge, and he writes to him all through 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. And he says, look, Timothy, if you're going to be leading New Testament churches, if you're going to be showing saved men and women, if you're going to be showing saved men and women what they need to do in the establishment of church gatherings, churches, the church of God, this is what you have to do. And so the Apostle Paul gives Timothy this charge. And he goes on to say, he says that he's ready to be offered. He knows that he's at the end of his life now. Verse 6, he says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now, what was the good fight and what was the course of the Apostle Paul? Well, we are not left to our own imaginations. The Bible, scripture with scripture. Turn to Acts chapter 20. And if you want to see what the course and the good fight of the Apostle Paul was, it was against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And his course was the gospel of the grace of God. And let's read that in his own words. Acts chapter 20, starting verse 22. Acts chapter 20, starting in verse 22. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. That doesn't sound good. If you're in the ministry, if you're a pastor, if you're an evangelist, if you're a preacher, if you're a street preacher, why did you get into the ministry? Did you do it as a career move? Did you do it because your daddy's a pastor and his daddy was a pastor and that's just the way that you've always done it? Is that why you're in the ministry? Paul says that bonds and afflictions abide him. And if you got into the ministry for the right reasons, to preach and teach the gospel of the grace of God, and because hell is real, and because lost people go there, and because nobody ever gets out of there, and you go from hell to the lake of fire, these are the reasons why anybody should be in the ministry. And Paul says that the apostles are the least of everybody. They are the offscouring of the world. And yet, in 2020, we see televangelists with gold toilets and living in 24,000 square foot homes and flying on $65 million jet airplanes. Paul says, bonds and afflictions abide me. Then he goes on to say in verse 24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. Why? So that I might, here it is, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now, turn to Acts chapter 26, and this is the charge that Jesus Christ personally gave the Apostle Paul. We've read this section many, many times. Paul is brought before the king, King Agrippa, and he's giving his testimony, and he says this, starting in verse 13, Acts 26, verse 13, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking with me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest, but arise. And here it is. Here's the charge. Here's the commission that Jesus Christ gave to the apostle Paul. But rise, verse 16, and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee to open. Now think about this. I had somebody write to me just an hour before this broadcast started. Why do you crazy pre-trib people, why do you follow the Apostle Paul so strongly? He's not God. Why do you worship the Apostle Paul? Now, that always makes me laugh when people say that, and people do say that. But it makes me laugh because obviously these people have never read the verse that I'm about to read to you. We don't worship the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was just as much of a sinner as you are or I am. In fact, the Apostle Paul said this about, now keep your finger in Acts 26. We're just about to get to that verse, but turn to Romans chapter 7. You want to see what the Apostle Paul is like? Could you worship this person? I don't think you could. Romans chapter 7, and he says this. He says, starting in verse 19, Romans 7:19, in your King James Bibles, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth within me. And then look down in verse 23 through 25. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into the captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, his hands, his feet, his body, his physical body. Oh, wretched man, your body doesn't get saved, by the way. If you're born again, your body's going in the trash. If you die, they're going to bury it and the worms are going to eat it, or they're going to burn it and someone's going to put your dust in an urn on the fireplace mantle. But your body and your blood doesn't go up. Your soul does. We are body, soul, and spirit. We are made in a tripart union, just like God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But when you got born again, your spirit was quickened and your soul was born again, but your body, that's going to go in the trash. O wretched man that I am, verse 24, who shall deliver me from what? The body of this death. Paul doesn't want his body saved. He wants out of it. He wants to be delivered from it. And then he concludes by saying, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. If you're saved today, you have two men. You have the new man, 2 Corinthians 5:17, and you have the old man that I just read to you about. But back to Acts chapter 26. Acts, and all of this, trust me, we're going to get in just a moment, we're going to get to the election, and I'm going to give you a charge about that. So stay with me on that. Acts chapter 26, Paul is talking to King Agrippa, and he tells him about how he met Jesus Christ. And look what he says. I'm going to reread verse 17, then we're going to get into 18. This is why we follow the Apostle Paul, delivering thee from the people and from the, this is Jesus talking to Paul, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And then Paul tells the king, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. And then when you get to Acts chapter 28, and you go down at the bottom of 28, and what do you read? He is trying one more time. Paul is trying one more time to deal with his Jewish brethren that he loves so much. And this is what happens. Acts 28, starting in 23. Acts 28, 23. And we're going to go a little bit past 11 o'clock. I probably should have scheduled this service for 90 minutes, but we are going to go right through 11 o'clock, so I hope you guys can stay with us. Acts 28, starting in verse 23. And when they had appointed him a day, Paul, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And what does Paul get? He gets a 50-50 split. You think you're a good preacher? You think that God has touched you with a holy unction? And maybe he has. And if he has, I think that's great. But the Apostle Paul, the greatest Christian that ever lived, he was only able to get a 50-50 split after being taught personally by Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit for 3.5 years on the backside of the Damascus desert. Here in Acts 28:30-24, it says, "And some believed the things that were spoken, which were spoken, and some believed not." The Italians say mens a mens. So-so, half and half. That's what I put in my coffee, half and half. If it's half milk and it's half cream. Acts 28, 24. Half said that's pretty good. Half said, nope, that doesn't do it. Verse 25, and when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well, and he's going to quote Isaiah. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. What does Habakkuk say in Habakkuk 1:5? Behold, regard ye among the heathen and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your day, which though it be told you, you will in no wise believe. That's 2020, my friends. That's where we're at right now in 2020. God is showing us what's happening. Do you have eyes to see it? Do you have ears to receive it? Because if you do, you're going to look at the election in a whole new light. Whether it's overturned in the courts and Trump somehow manages to hold on, or Biden and Kamala Harris turn America into a Marxist nation, regardless of what happens, we're in 2020, and most people, most Christians, are blind, spiritually speaking, because they don't get into the Word. Remember, we started in Joshua chapter 1, and the Lord gave Joshua a charge. He said, hey, Joshua, you want good success? You better open that Word. You better get in that Word. You better stick your nose in that scroll, and you better keep it there and not take it out until I give you something. And then tomorrow, go back and do it all over again. It's like what they say in the back of the shampoo bottles. Rinse, lather, repeat. Right? Rinse. Now, of course, they say that because they want you to use as much shampoo as possible, so you'll run out quickly and you'll buy more, and that's how Procter & Gamble became a multi-billion dollar company. Rinse, lather, repeat. But how about read, receive, believe, and repeat? How about that? Because that's exactly what God told Joshua. You want good success? Here's what you got to do. Open that scroll, read it, believe it, receive it, repeat it. That's for our dispensation too. And here in Acts chapter 28, he says, go unto this people, verse 26, and say, hearing ye shall hear and not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. Why? For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. And then Paul says this, fine, you guys don't want it? Here's what's going to happen. Verse 28. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed, and they haven't come back since, and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all them that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Now, I want to take you to New Year's Eve of 2020. In just a couple of months, we're going to be, Lord willing, we're going to be experiencing New Year's Eve of 2021. But I want to read to you what I wrote, and I published this at the stroke of midnight on January 1st, 2020. And I want to read to you what my burden for Now the End Begins, and for ministry, and for preaching and teaching, and everything that God has laid on my heart for the last 30 years, I tried to encapsulate in this article, and I want to read it to you now. And the title of this article was Flight 777. My New Year's prayer is that 2020 will be the year that Jesus catches us up in the clouds in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And the article starts here. A little over an hour ago, we said goodbye to 2019 here in St. Augustine and welcomed in the new year and the new decade of 2020. The marking of that celebration dovetails perfectly with the celebration of 10 years of Now the End Begins. God is so good, awesome, beyond measure. And as I look out in my mind's eye into the coming months of this new year and new decade, and the overriding thought in my mind is this the year that we who are saved will hear, come up hither? It is my fondest and most blessed hope. Is it yours also? The pages on our website during just the month of December were viewed in excess of 1 million times, and that thrills my soul to think of the gospel going out in its various forms on our site to all those people lost and saved, and the myriad ways the Holy Spirit is using it to bless, teach, instruct, and prophesy. C.T. Studd once wrote that we have only one life. For John Roth, the one life he was given ended yesterday. For Elwood in Argentina, his one life ended a little over a year ago. For Anna Duffy Shank and Glenda Fiore, their one life ended 6-7 years ago. You have one life. I have one life. At some point, it's going to end. C.T. Studd wrote, only one life. 'Twill soon be past, and only what's done for Christ will last. And then I went on to say in this article, that's the message that I would like to send out as our first article of 2020, a clarion call to the church, to the body of Christ, to make this year one unlike any other. Now, I'm writing this on New Year's Eve of 2020. At this point, we are still 10 weeks away from the global COVID lockdown. We're 3 months away from finding out that Bill Gates has a vaccine and he wants to vaccinate everybody. And he created a company called ID 2020 that he connected with the United Nations, whose stated mission statement purpose is to give every single human being on Earth a human implantable microchip digital identification. When I wrote this article that I'm reading right now to you, these things were weeks and months away. I had no idea the particulars of what was going to happen. I'm not a psychic. I am not an Old Testament prophet. But getting back to Joshua chapter 1, you stick your nose in that book and God's going to talk to you. God's going to give you something. God's going to show you something. Read it, receive it, believe it, repeat it, right? So I really didn't know the particulars of the things that were going to take place, but I had a hunch that 2020 was going to be a year unlike any other year. And if you go back and listen to some of the Bible studies that we did in the tail end in November and December of 2019, multiple times I spoke about that 2020 was going to be the year of prophecy. And I don't know why I started calling it that. That was just something that the Lord gave me, but it really turned out to be pretty good, didn't it? 2020, I've been saved for 30 years. I've been alive on this earth for 59 years. And I've never seen a year like this. I mean, this is what I dreamed about when I first got saved. And here we are. We are in the prophetical year of 2020. And in the article, I went on to say that I saw this as a year to devote ourselves wholly to this mission of ministry, to the reason why Jesus left us here after he saved us. The mission of preaching the gospel of the grace of God, this is Paul's course, this is Paul's fight, to a lost and dying world in the closing days of the church age before the rapture. And then I said, talking about Now the End Begins, God has blessed this ministry with a global platform. And it's funny, at the start of the article, I was talking about how the month of December, we had over 1 million views. Well, we would do many millions more than that in just a few weeks after I wrote this article. I had no idea that was coming. But God has really been dumping it on us. And I wrote, God has blessed this ministry, Now the End Begins, with a global platform and placed us in a unique position to reach the world for Jesus Christ. In 2020, the Lord willing, and this is what I pledged to you 11 months ago. In 2020, I wrote, the Lord willing, I want to work like never before in the service of the Master, so much so that everything done these past 10 years will seem like they were merely a warm-up for this place and time. And again, man, I just got a chill going down the back of my neck. That's exactly what 2020 has turned out to be. And then I said, and I want to be an encouragement to you and to provoke you unto love to good works so that you will find the calling God has placed on your life. You know what the Apostle Paul says about giving to the ministry? And I'm not talking about money. Talking about giving yourself to the ministry of the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 12:15, the Apostle Paul said this, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. What is Paul saying here? Paul is saying that he is willing to lay it all on the altar for the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I was writing about in this article. And if you remember, this was the night after 10 years of doing Now the End Begins and all the blessings and cursings that have come with it. I've been fired from 2 six-figure jobs. I was homeless for an entire summer back in 2014. God has absolutely given me a couple of trials by fire, baptism by fire, whatever you want to call that. And I have absolutely experienced some stunning things because of Now the End Begins, and it has caused hardships. But on the other side of the coin, there is, with the exception of my children being born, and maybe even more so because this is eternal, I've had no greater blessing than to be at the helm of Now the End Begins, to be your Bible teacher and a preacher and a street preacher and an evangelist and now a pastor. NTEB House Church. Well, this is where we are, and this is where God has brought us. Not me. He's brought me and you together. And there are many, many, many of you who have been with us from the very beginning. And I'm talking 11 years ago. And we rejoice at that, and we rejoice with all the new people who have come and all the new people who have gotten saved. I received so many messages this morning from people saying, thank you for doing this service. We need it. We have to have it. My church stopped preaching from the King James months ago. I hear that all the time. This message that you're hearing right now is being broadcast from the brand new Now the End Begins studios that were made possible in large part by a listener to this program from Fort Lauderdale, whose church began to go very liberal, and they began to bring in Joel Osteen, and they began to bring in Name It and Claim It, and they began to get off the book and get on whatever slop, the NIV, the ASV, the RSV, whatever that is. I call it the not inspired version, but that's just me. Maybe you like to read that. I don't. I don't even consider those books to be Bibles. But this brother in Fort Lauderdale, he contacted me and said, could I come up and could I have lunch with you? My wife and I would like to meet you. I want to say thank you for your ministry. And he drove up, and I met him and his wife and lovely, lovely people. And the testimony that he gave me why he wanted to come up was because he had, and he couldn't remember how he got there, but he started listening about 3 years ago. And even though he had a brick and mortar church, and even though we weren't doing church services, but our Bible studies have always been like a church service, we have music, we pray, we have testimony, we close in prayer, we invite lost people to get saved. I mean, it really kind of is a church service. But this brother shared with me that our weekly Bible studies became his real church service, even though he physically attended a brick and mortar church. And he gave me an envelope, and he said, I want it here. This is for you. And he didn't say much more than that, and I haven't really even heard from him since he gave me, us, that gift. But when I opened it, and I saw what type of gift that it was, and he said to me, he said, I always hear you talk on your programs about how much that you want to build a studio. And he said, this is my little contribution. And I laugh at the word little. He said, this is my little contribution. And he said, I hope that that this will be a blessing to you. Well, what was in that envelope was enough to create this studio in the most chaotic year that I have ever seen in my lifetime. In a year that is absolutely coming apart at the seams, in a year that you think people would be hunkering down, God said, go into the fight. Go in to the battle. Don't run from it. And God said to me on New Year's Eve when I wrote this article, he said, stick by the stuff, as the Bible says, stay by the stuff. And do what I tell you to do. Don't look back. Don't look to the side. Look up and follow me. D.L. Moody once said, the world has yet to see, and this is the article, the world has yet to see what God can do with a man who is fully consecrated to him. By God's help, I aim to be that man. That's what Dwight Moody said after he heard the evangelist Varley, the Scottish preacher, say, the world has yet to see what God can do in and with and through and by the man that is wholly consecrated unto him. That was not an original quote from Dwight Moody. But when Moody tells the story years later, he said that he heard Varley say that the world has yet to see what God can do with a fully consecrated man. And then Moody said that when he was listening to that in his mind, he said, I want to be that man. This is D.L. Moody, the greatest evangelist since the Apostle Paul, a man with a sixth grade education, a man whose father abandoned the family. There was like 9 kids or 11 kids, whatever it was. And the kids had to be divided up because the mother couldn't afford to care for them. And if you want to get inspired by some character that's not part of the Bible, you read the biography of D.L. Moody. And if you think that you're starting with a small amount of gifts and talents, I bet you have more than the sixth grade education. D.L. Moody only had a sixth grade education. One time after he was preaching, a man came up to him and said, Mr. Moody, you absolutely butcher the English language. I've counted 27 different times that what you said was grammatically incorrect. And as the story goes, Moody just looked at that man. He opened his mouth and he stuck out his tongue. He pulled it back in and he said, you see my mouth and you see my tongue? And the man grunted and said, yeah. Moody replied, it may not be much, and I agree with what you said. He said, my mouth may not be much, but I've given 100% of it to the Lord. Can you say the same thing? And as the story goes, the man just, he was speechless. He had no words. He looked away, and then he looked down at his feet, and then he walked away silently. I went on to say in the article, that's the man that I want to be in 2020. And I would love for all of you who read this to desire the same. And then I went on to say, if you need, and this is New Year's Eve of 2020, if you need King James Bibles and cannot afford them, or need gospel tracts but don't have the money, send me an email, info@nowtheendbegins.com, and we will get some out to you free of charge as the Lord provides. If you want to get something done for the Lord, now is the appointed time. Don't put it off any longer. We want to be a blessing to you. Now, this is what I wrote on New Year's Eve in 2020. I wasn't trying to create the NTEB Free King James Bible and Gospel Tract Program. I simply said, if you need a King James Bible or you want gospel tracts and you don't have the money, send me an email and I'm going to pay for it and I'm going to send them to you. And that's exactly what we started doing. Well, guess what? Shortly after I wrote this, many of you caught the vision and you began to send me money. And we began to go from having a couple King James Bibles to a couple hundred King James Bibles that we're sending out. I have lost count of, and I have it written down somewhere, but I have lost count of the number of King James Ruckman Commentary Bibles that we've sent out to people all over the world completely for free, no charge for the shipping, no charge for the book. And you people have created this program. And now we have a program where we send out free Bibles and gospel tracts to people who can't afford them. Two weeks ago, I took that trip to Shelbyville, Tennessee. And I went to see the Bible and Literature Mission Missionary Foundation, where they print and ship King James Bibles to missionaries in 20 different foreign countries around the world so that the missionaries who are creating churches, house churches, most of them, have Bibles, King James Bibles, to give to their people. And would you believe that by the time that was all said and done, and this is just 2 weeks ago, you people, Now the End Begins readers and listeners, you guys sent in $12,800, and we are purchasing 16,000-pound rolls of paper that is going to send out 8,000 King James Bibles around the world, and they have already started going out. And I don't know about you, but that's where the Lord is working, and that's where I want to be. We say here at Now the End Begins that we are the front lines of the end times. And I think we are. I mean, you tell me, name for me one other ministry anywhere in the world that is as large as Now the End Begins, that is 100% King James only, and has been from the very beginning, that preach and teach Bible doctrine, the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, eternal security, salvation by grace through faith, all those different things, and are sending out workers into the field to get something done for the Lord Jesus Christ in these closing moments. I finished my article by saying this. I wish I had the gift of prophecy. Remember, I'm writing this on New Year's Eve, 2020. For if I did, I would love to be able to tell you when the rapture was going to be, but I can't. I have no idea when it will happen. But what I can do is live, and boy, oh boy, listen to this. But what I can do is live like 2020 will be the year that it takes place. Sure feels like it, doesn't it? And be busy about our Father's business each and every day while we wait. And then I closed my article with an invitation. I said, come with me on this journey. It's time. And then weeks after I wrote this article, everything changed. America changed. The world changed. Everything that we know flipped upside down. I promised you that we would talk about the election. And with just a couple more minutes to go, and we're going to give an invitation at the end of this service. So if you're lost, we're going to invite you to receive Jesus Christ. And if you're saved, we're going to invite you to join us on the front lines of the end times. But what we have watched this week, is we have watched the deep state in America, and we have watched the global elites of the New World Order. Remember, and we talk about this on our podcast all the time, in order to bring in the New World Order, you have to get rid of the last place where people are free. You've got to pull it down. You've got to shut it down. And Barack Obama tried his best to do that. And they had it all planned out. Barack Obama was going to hand the keys to the earthly kingdom to Crooked Hillary. And she was going to step in and finish the job that he started, and we were going to have the New World Order. But God, but God stepped in, and he put Donald Trump in power. Donald Trump beat 16 hardcore Republican candidates. He beat the entire Bush crime family. He beat the massively funded Clinton campaign, which literally had $1 billion with a B, $1 billion in the bank, and the backing of social media and the entire fake news media. Donald Trump beat all of those people, and he beat them resoundingly and decisively. And what resulted was a 4-year window of grace where God said, I'm going to give you, the word is called a caesura, which means a pregnant pause. Things are stopped, but man, oh man, is that bag filled and something's about to come out. And that's exactly what God gave us for the last 4 years. Now, God, look, I know that yesterday all the fake news media, the AP, and even Fox News. And if you watch Fox News, why don't you go and turn it off? Why don't you stop watching Fox News if you haven't figured out that Fox News is just MSNBC with an American flag on top of it? If you haven't figured that out by now, you really need to wake up. But I understand that all the fake news media have declared Biden and Harris to be the winners, but the states haven't certified. The legal challenges haven't been heard. The lawsuits haven't been brought to court. So, could God still do something? Absolutely, he can. He did last time, and maybe he'll do something this time. I have no idea. But I do know this. At some point, the New World Order has to assemble itself. The COVID crisis, COVID is a real virus. John Roth is not the only person that I know that has died of COVID. And I have known dozens and dozens of people who are sick with it. COVID came to our own house 2 months ago. We had a deal with COVID, with me and my children. So I have no doubt that COVID is a real virus and people really die from it. But I also know that how it's being handled, it's been weaponized by the New World Order. And these phony lockdowns and phony mask wearing and all that, I don't want to say a bad word, all that junk. Do you realize that yesterday, as Joe Biden was claiming victory, do you realize that his followers in major cities across America, thousands and thousands and thousands of Democrats gathered together, no social distancing, about 98.5% of those people were not wearing a mask, and Joe Biden did not call any of his tens of thousands of ecstatic followers to put a mask on or to stop gathering in large crowds. But just 3 days ago, if you didn't wear a mask, you were unpatriotic. If you didn't wear a mask when you drive in your car alone by yourself with the windows up, then you were part of the super spreaders. But boy, oh boy, don't kid me, man. Go kid your grandma, as the old saying goes. Now that Joe Biden is sensing victory and him and Harris think that they've won the whole thing, masks, couldn't care less. Social distancing, I can only imagine the good laugh that they had behind closed doors yesterday, looking at the cameras, looking at the TV programs, and thinking, look at those idiots. You know what Stalin and Lenin said? That in order to have a revolution, you need a bunch of useful idiots. And that's exactly what we saw yesterday. And Joe Biden, he thinks that he's the president-elect. He doesn't make any announcements to not gather in large groups. He doesn't make any announcements to tell his followers to put a mask on. He didn't care. He didn't campaign. He stayed in his basement half the time. And why? Because he knew the whole thing was rigged. You can go to nowtheendbegins.com and go read about Hammer and Scorecard. Go read about the Dominion voting company. And you'll see exactly how these results have been arrived at. But in closing, I want to leave you with these two verses from Romans 16. Romans 16 says, in verses 17 and 18, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrines which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Paul is giving a charge to the brethren, right? He is giving a charge to the brethren. And at the top of this chapter, what did he talk about? He talked about, in verse 5, "Likewise greet the church that is in their house." And he's talking about house churches. And here in 17 and 18, he is giving a charge to the brethren. That would be me and you. And Paul says this, and I want you to think about what I'm about to say. I want these words to burn in your brain and in your heart. Paul says in verse 17 of Romans 16, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." If Joe Biden is successful in becoming the president, a number of things are going to happen immediately. He is going to rejoin with the nation of Iran with the nuclear treaty. He is going to rejoin the Paris Climate Accords. He is going to bring in the Green New Deal. And Kamala Harris is on record as saying that a Biden-Harris administration will restore funding for the Palestinian Liberation Terror Organization, and they will give them millions of dollars that you and I know Hamas is going to use to send rockets and weapons and munitions and war fighters over the Gaza border into the nation of Israel. Kamala Harris said this just last week. Now these same people are on the verge of winning. And what you are about to see is you are going to see lukewarm Laodicean Christianity and Roman Catholicism. You are going to see all of this junk mixed together. And you are going to, if Joe Biden wins, you're going to see the creation of a state religion that is going to punish you according to how you treat the earth and how you treat the climate and what your carbon footprint is. And I don't have time to go into all of it, but this is exactly what the Nazis did. They took religion, they took Christianity, and then they merged it with Roman Catholicism. And that was the hook that they put into the nose of the German people. And then, one by one, the crosses began to come down, and the Nazi flag with the swastika began to go right up. The red, white, and black Nazi flag, which is the same colors of the Antifa flag and the anarchy flag, both flags that Kamala Harris says she supports and has no problem with. This is where we are. Now, I'm going to close with where we started. And where we started was Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thee dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. If you're lost today, we're going to give an invitation in just a moment, and we're going to invite you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you are saved, now is the time to get something done for the Lord. Lord willing, going forward, we're going to do many more of these services. We're going to talk about this on our Monday and Friday podcasts. We're going to give you from the Word the things that you need to be fully equipped in this end times fight that we find ourselves in. The battle has arrived. Regardless who wins this election, the battle has arrived and we are here. The time is now. If you have ever thought about getting something done for the Lord, tomorrow's not the day. Today is the day. My daughter Kelsey is going to sing Be Thou My Vision, and then we're going to give an invitation and then close.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou waking or sleeping, thy presence, my light. Be thou my wisdom,
If you're lost, we invite you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior right now. Don't put it off. You may not get tomorrow. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you're lost today, I'm going to pray with you. I want you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Heavenly Father, I ask if there's anyone listening now who is lost, that they would close their eyes and bow their knee and bow their head and say, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." As your word says, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And if you're lost today, I'm talking to you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you would die today, you would go to a devil's hell where you would burn for all eternity, and there would be no relief, there would be no water, there would be no escape, there would be no cessation of that punishment. But the Bible says, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you're lost today, I invite you to pray right now in your own words and ask God to save you. And if you pray that prayer, I want you to email me info@nowtheendbegins.com. I'm going to send you out a free King James Bible. And I want to talk with you, and I want to counsel with you. I want you to become part of the NTEB family of believers. I want you to have a seat on flight 777 in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And the only way you get on, you can't buy that ticket. The Bible says thy money perish with thee. You can't buy your way. You can't talk your way into a seat on that flight. The only way that you can get there is you got to go in a time machine. You got to go back 2,000 years to Calvary, and you got to get under that blood. You got to get under that flow and say, "God, save me. Be merciful to me, a sinner." The Bible promises, "Whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And if you are saved, I thank you for listening. I thank you for tuning in. I thank you for being a part of the NTEB family. But man, oh man, it is time to get into the fight. Take your eyes off of Republican and Democrat, blue and red, Washington, D.C., Portland, Seattle, Chicago, Detroit. All these things are going to be burned up. America is being judged. America is actively under the judgment of God right now. And this, if you're saved and if you're still here, This is why you were saved, and this is why you were left here. Not everybody is called to do the same thing. Not everybody can do the same thing. But if you pray and say, God, show me my course. Give me a job to do. I prayed that prayer 11 years ago. And God gave me tiny little baby, Now the End Begins, which he has blessed and prospered into a worldwide global family of believers. It's amazing what God has done with that little seed of faith. And I'm asking you and inviting you, if you're saved, to do exactly the same thing. God, I know it's late. We have just a few moments before you call us out of here. Let me get something done for you in these closing moments. I thank you for tuning in for this very first and very special broadcast. I am so glad that you were here with us this morning for the very first NTEB House Church Sunday service. And Lord willing, I hope that there will be many, many more. And Lord willing, we'll see you back here tomorrow, Monday at noon, for another edition of the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast. Have a great day, everybody.
Follow.